A reading from Acts chapter 2,
beginning in the first verse.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
Tokoro ni arishini, ni waka ni tiu yori hageshiki kaze no gotoki hibiki arite karero gaza suru tokoro no.
And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Popo iya jongle tum lai te. Lufai bi che ha la vo mong jo po cho tu.
Divided tongues, as a fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked,
Tous ceux qui parlent Galiléen?
Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans?
我们个人怎么听得见他们用我们生来所用的相谈呢?
And how is it that we hear each of us in our own language?
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs.
Y los oímos hablar en nuestras propias lenguas.
In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
Words mock the Arabian there.
De las maravillas de Dios.
God's deeds of power.
And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another,
¿Qué significa esto?
What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine.
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say.
Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist.
The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day.
Then everyone.
Todos.
Everyone.
Alles.
Everyone.
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 Thong dao tu wo tha tu chu pa.
Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now, he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as of yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from the God of all of our days. Amen. As we gather in the midst of what may come to be called the Great Disruption, we need to begin with a word of deep, deep gratitude. Just think back to the early days of March, not that long ago, when we were all slowly coming to the realization of just how significant this pandemic would be and just what the ensuing disruption would entail. Few of us could have imagined all the pain and uncertainty and confusion and fear and discord that we have experienced. We've been forced to find new ways to worship, connect, and serve. We've had to learn new technologies and embrace a spirit of experimentation and innovation, because everything seems to be changing so quickly. We've had to learn how to be nimble and not to hold on to any decision or practice too tightly as information and circumstances evolve. And I've experienced the pastors and the deacons and the leaders of the congregations of this synod doing so, holding fast to the values that we adopted a year ago at our synod assembly, the core values of who we are as God's people together. Curiosity, courage, compassion, and collaboration. I'm filled with gratitude and pride when I take stock of all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you are. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve in your midst. Thank you. And now as we enter this next phase of this time of disruption and we try to sort through all of the varying opinions and ideas of when and how we should return to in-person worship and other activities and what the future will entail, my hope is that we can do so in a way that reflects the deep clarity about why we exist as God's people in the church. As the what and the how and the when of our common life continues to shift in the days and months and years to come, I pray that our mission, our why, is clear and firm and unchanging. We exist to follow Jesus, form communities, and love all. That was true before this pandemic started, and I pray it will be true forever. As we look to those who were present for that very first Pentecost experience so many years ago, we could say that they were also going through a time of great disruption. Their religious and political and economic systems were all in flux. And when the Holy Spirit blew through their gathering with a fiery wind, she did not bring order and calm to the chaos, but rather increased change and uncertainty. Even as the text describes people speaking in amazing diversity of languages and the words of the prophet Joel are used to describe the coming of prophecies and dreams and visions, we should note that very little detail is given about those prophecies, dreams, and visions. There's no clear picture of what the future will look like for the church or for the world. The only clues we have is that Luke writes that the people who were speaking in various tongues were describing God's deeds of power. And that the result of all of these prophecies is that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God's power, our salvation. It's all we know. But it's all we need to know. Even as we are in the midst of so much concern about what we are going to do and when we are going to return to our buildings and how we are going to shape our ministries moving forward, we need to just take a deep breath. We need to remember that the most important actor in all of this disruption is God. Not that God has caused this pandemic or is dictating our response to it, but God is ultimately in charge. And God's power is made perfect in our weakness and confusion. And the purpose and the direction of all of this power is to bring about the salvation and healing and restoration of all people and all creation. I don't know what the future of the church of the world is going to look like, but I'm pretty sure we're not just going to go back to the way things used to be. And I know that God's holy and disrupting spirit is already at work planting visions and dreams in people of all ages and identities, all races and ideologies, all languages and experiences. Now, it's going to take some time to sort that all out because these visions and dreams will be as diverse as the people from whom they come. But let's find a way through it all to trust in God's power and ride the winds of the Spirit. Let's recognize that God is in charge. And the long arc of God's universe in this time of pandemic and always bends towards justice, love, healing, and salvation for us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.